You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for the week, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And reviewing the day and a little look back at the week and a look forward to next week is Greg Davies, Chief Trader at Kratos Capital in Johannesburg. And this podcast is proudly brought to you by ShareNet.co.za. Greg, we were waiting for it all week because we had nothing else to talk about. It was the US non-farm payrolls data from the United States of America, as I said. And they created 196,000 new jobs in 1 month. That's amazing. We could do with a bit of that.
I always look at those numbers. And I mean, obviously, the size of the population is much bigger than ours. But I mean, to have 10% or something of that nature in job creation, it's almost, and as you said, the forecast was for 177 or 75. But they take it in the normal course of a month's business to create that many jobs. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. You think of big companies in South Africa. I mean, Discovery, you know, it's one of the sort of new startup companies that employs 7,500 people. MTN, 21,000 people. So for those type of numbers, to the type of businesses which they must be creating, and it's obviously businesses which are expanding as well, but I've always marveled at the wonder of the U.S. and many happy trips there, but what a place.
It is an amazing place, and there are 160 million people that make up the working population. There's 300 million people just going about their business being Americans, most of them. But there's 160 million that are qualified for works, and that's the workforce. And you take the 200,000, and if you do the maths, which I'm not going to, it's still a decent number, especially when the unemployment rate, Greg, is not 28% as it is in South Africa. It's 3.8%, for goodness sake. 3.8%. There's no one else to work.
Yes, it's getting to that point. And these things are obviously cyclical. I mean, Trump's obviously riding on the back of it. But, you know, when that economy over there starts to fire, it's just a thing to marvel at. They've pulled themselves out of recessions, all sorts of setbacks over the years. So, you know, certainly an example for us to look at.
I spoke to a woman who is married to a very well-known broadcaster in the United Kingdom, and the two of them share their time between Los Angeles and London. She's a London girl, daughter of a politician and a great journalist. And
I know exactly
who I'm talking about, but I'm not going to say. And I said, what do you prefer? Don't you miss London? She said, the thing about London is that everybody is so cynical all the time. She says, I loved going to a 300-year-old pub. I love this and I love that, but it's so nice to get on an aeroplane and go back to the United States of America, go to Los Angeles, and I didn't say, well, it must be irritating for people to say have a nice day every 5 minutes, but she said everyone is so optimistic and there's sunshine and it's lovely to have the two. I love living in London, I love living in Los Angeles, but this is a woman who is a Londoner through and through, but extols the virtues of Los Angeles.
Yes, I mean, I think that's the thing. And you know, friends that live in Europe, and the ability for social mobility to really improve your situations, you as a youngster that come out of university, I think in Europe and certainly the UK, it's much, much more difficult to make a name for yourself, say, in the stock market or as a lawyer or a doctor, than in the US, where they're always looking for talents and you know, pushing these youngsters that come with new ideas. You've got your Zuckerbergs and so on. You know, they're always open to fresh ideas and creating new businesses. So certainly something to look at.
Yes, it certainly is. We're not going to do any more analysis on the jobs numbers because after this morning, when you were talking about Mexican strawberry pickers being the reason for only 20,000 jobs being created last month, it caused a bit of a stir. So we're not going to do that, Greg. What we are going to talk about is the reaction of the market. Just talk in general terms about the really poor day on the JSE. In fact, I'm going to give you an example of how poor it is by giving you the value traded right at the end of this. Banks up 0.33% on the JSE, financials flat, industrial shares up 0.25%, retailers up 0.75%, resources also 0.75% better, gold shares up 0.25%, or is that 1.4%? No, sorry, gold shares up 1.4%, platinum's 1.2% to the good, and the all share itself closed the day and the week at 57,776, and the value traded 13.8 billion. That's a poor number.
Yes, I mean, that is a concern. I mean, we saw the sort of 16 odd yesterday, and so the market's sort of looking for fresh direction. You can sort of concern going towards the elections, really, that you know, you might have a patch where there's really low volume, big institutions saying we'll sit on the sidelines until where there's a little bit more clarity. But you know, no stories. You know, this market, I've been saying it for a year now, thrives on drama. You know, and Aspen has an earnings miss, or Nice Paris unbundles multi-choice. Something, you know, a backstory to not just we're just trading the same shares and waiting for Trump to do deals with China. Those stories are just droning on forever. But there's nothing stock specific here to the JSE to get any of the shares really moving.
And the other thing is, it's a shrinking universe. That's the other thing. You can say what you like about Naspers trying to narrow the discount between itself and Tencent and why it's going to Amsterdam. But we know why it's going to Amsterdam, because it doesn't have the confidence in the JSE Securities Exchange being able to give its internet offering the best platform, I think.
It could be the beginning of a trend. I mean, I read an article about a week ago, just a headline as you often do, but like Sibanye Gold could also consider something like the ADRs of Sibanye, which trade in the US, but it's not officially listed there. And I've got that, you know, that Stillwater mine. But there might be a beginning of a trend with Naspers have looked at the discount that they've got in their share price to the Tencent holding that they've got. What's going wrong here? Maybe foreign investors don't want to commit a lot of capital to Naspers here, which is an indirect holding in Tencent, because of the exchange where it's listed, the currency situation, the electricity can't stay on. And so they might be more inclined to go through one of the European exchanges. And you know, we saw Steinhoff doing it. Didn't really work out for them, but it might be a pattern.
Praveen Gordon said yesterday in an article that I saw, which was written up after yet another press conference that they had, or media interaction, if you like, and he said, well, we're not going to have any more load shedding or any more power cuts for the rest of the winter in South Africa. And I was talking to Liston Mainges earlier on, and incidentally, if you want to hear about the US jobs numbers in the unique way that Liston Mainges analyzes it, you can get that on strictlybusinesspodcast.com. But Greg, he was at the Wanderers this afternoon for some reason, playing squash or something, or cricket. And there was a power cut, so he couldn't speak to me on the telephone. He had to drive somewhere else. And you were saying that you were at Bellini's in Illovo, also a power cut.
Yes, just round the corner from actually the Wanderers there. The power was off. Robots, it may be there's a construction site on that corner. So maybe the ANC could spin a story that you know, a price we pay for construction of buildings on the corner. They might have dug up a cable or something, but certainly Bellini's wasn't holding back on the beers and the tequila. We still managed to have a steak, just no chips really.
Okay, great. Let's have a look at the most viewed shares first of all. Steinhoff dribbling lower. Do you remember after that announcement, we sort of opened up its books a little bit? It went to R2.10. It's now 171, down 5% today. Sibanye up 2.5%. Naspers up 0.3%, and Aspen down 1.5%. That was a fleeting rally above 100. They're the most viewed shares. But what about the top five up and down, Greg?
Yeah, Steinhoff. I mean, I wonder if we'll ever. And it just seems to roll on forever. They're talking about, I think they said end of August for 2019's numbers. On the up moves here in the market, we've got Fortress, you know, which is part of the Resilient Group. That one up 2.5%. It's sort of range trading between levels at the moment. Sibanye Gold, that's up 2.5%, 16.35. That's been on a spike because, you know, a week and a half ago, because it was around 14.50, I think middle of this week, in fact. So quite a big run. It's a wonderful stock for brokers like myself who love clients to trade in and out, because if you'd gone in on Wednesday, gone out on Friday, you know, everyone's made money. The brokers have made brokerage and the clients have made profits. InBev, I see, is up 2%, and Exxaro, often on our list, up another 2%.
RCL, I don't know why that's up and down like it is, down 11.25%. Vivo, we must never talk about that again. Sirius, I don't know what that is. Assel, down 2.4%. And Hammerson, 2.1% a week. Greg, any shares outside of those ones on the bottom five? And there's some really thinly traded stocks there. Anything that you saw that concerned you at the end of this week?
No, not really. I mean, looking through the sectors, I just see the financials a little bit lower. The property stocks, that they continue to be under a little bit of pressure, but nothing too concerning there. The Rand 14.06, so that's showing some strength.
Greg, there's a company called ELB Group Limited. Wasn't that E.L. Bateman in the old days? And wasn't the Bateman family one of the pillars of South African society and pillars of the JSC? Or am I getting it wrong? Bateman?
Yes, what was the case? I remember back in the day, the code was ELR. Oh, well, ELB, now it's ELR. I think like a shadow of what it was before, a market cap of only 178 million, but I think parts were spun out of the original company.
Hmm. Okay, so we don't know anything about that now. It just says results significantly impacted by losses incurred on the Hamsberg zinc project. Overall reduction in trading levels across the group. Sales decreased to 1.598 billion from 1.715 billion, etc. Another old company that you used to thrive on, probably, on the JSE Securities Exchange, as it is known now.
See,
as
the JSE
and whatever it was.
It's almost... it's almost the case that you can for certain say if a company releases its results after 5 o'clock on a Friday, that there's never been a case where the results are sterlingly good and they want everyone to print them out and go home and read them in bed. It's always, I mean, it's such extraordinary in this modern day and age that they think people won't perhaps notice that a journalist won't write a story. Certainly it protects the share price until Monday, but the shareholders have got the whole weekend to fret
about it.
Net asset value per share decreased to 890, but these losses look really big in relation to the company's market cap, which is 178 million. So this is often the problem with these you know, when they don't build in enough margins and these projects go wrong. Sure, that's terrifying. The share only traded about 6,000 shares today at R5.50. But quite a wide double, sort of R5 bid and R11 offered. So look forward to something to look forward to on Monday.
Yes. Dollar rand, 14.07. British pound against the rand, 18.30. The euro rand, 15.78. And the euro dollar, 1.12.14. And it was 1.12.25 before the jobs data. So not much happening there. Let's have a look at the commodities now, see if there's any action there. No, nothing at all. The gold price, 12.92, unchanged. The platinum price, unchanged at 897, but the palladium price switching around a little bit. Maybe there's been a little bit of a weekly trading going on there, Greg, because palladium, having been under enormous pressure, has actually rallied by $21 an ounce, and crude oil, $70.35. This is inflationary. Do you know how much oil is up this year so far? Have a guess.
Sure, I'm just thinking of numbers of the. We're talking Brent crude.
You're looking
crude
on your screen now. Yeah.
I'm guessing off the top of my head, it's gone from 62 and we're at 69.80 at the moment.
No, it's up 35% this year.
You see, because we're selling off into the end of last year on just about everything.
I think
the high in the middle of last year was around $80, and then every headline, and I was retweeting them all, saying oil's going back to 100, but we forgot that it had one more trip back to the
first. Don't lose faith. And it's also Mr. Trump that said he wants the Saudis to turn on the spigots, turn on the taps and get it down. And then what he doesn't realize is that America has a giant oil industry, so he'd be harming jobs if the oil price came down. But Mr. Trump, you've got to love him. Greg Davies, anything else that you're looking forward to next week, or should we just go into the weekend meekly and quietly?
Well, yeah, I just hope that the general volumes on that overall turnover can improve. And, you know, just look, so far it hasn't been a bad 2019. The market, 57,776. We've got a good foothold here above 57,000. Perhaps we can push on from here. Something like NASPAS has been more or less leading the charge back to 3,481. If you add in the multi-choice, which is another 120-odd rand, it's heading back towards those all-time highs. And the U.S. market seems to be intact, not really responding to the non-farms, up 25 points today at the moment.
Greg, thanks so much for your excellent analysis tonight and all week. Greg Davies is the chief trader at Kratos Capital, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with ShareNet.co.za.